Good morning. What a lovely morning it is. New every morning is thy love, our wakening and uprising proved from sleep and darkness safely brought. New thoughts of heaven, new powers of thought. What a beautiful expression that is. I want to take you today into some new nuggets, I think, of truth. I want to understand with you that from Matthew and chapter 13, we have a thing that reveals character. For instance, words reveal character. And these words are either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers. This is Jesus speaking, by the way, to the scribes and Pharisees. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's a tremendous statement that Jesus makes, and it follows right on where he has talked about the unpardonable sin. And he says in verse 30 of chapter 12, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, I want to think for a moment, what is this age to come? Well, after death, there is life, and that's a new age that is come. And that age has settled down upon us, and we call it eternity. We call it everlasting life. We call it the life after death. We have all these different expressions and sayings, and we need to come to a place where we understand what it is that we're talking about. I die, Paul the Apostle writes, and I shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye. The time it takes for an eye to twinkle, that's all. That is the change. And that is the thing that changes immediately we die. We go into a sort of metamortis and we are dead. But we don't go to sleep. We don't go into some sort of purgatory. We don't go into some waiting place where a second chance is handed out. We are told immediately that we are in the presence of Jesus, and he demands that we love him with that everlasting love that we had on earth. And we need to be very careful of speaking of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says all kinds of blasphemy is going to be forgiven, especially the blasphemy against the Son of God. That's where the mercy is. But you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, and there is absolutely, says Jesus, there is no forgiveness of sin. Now, what is this that we're talking about? I believe it's this, and I've looked at this for years, and I have come up with this sort of definition. where I would say that a person who rejects the testimony of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is the Son of the living God and will save you and will be your Savior, if you reject that, you have blasphemed against the testimony of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come upon you and teach you all things that you have need of learning, and he will show you this new and living way, which is the gospel way, the good news way, the good news that enters our hearts and our minds and our spirits, and that is a testimony against the Holy Spirit. A man said something like this to me. These are my words. I'm paraphrasing what he said. It was nothing very shocking or tremendous, but it tells the story. I had said something to him like, "Where do you stand for eternity? Have you received the testimony of the Holy Spirit that Jesus went to Calvary's cross to take away your sin, to wash you in his blood, and to cause you at the time of death to be resurrected immediately in his presence? Have you received that truth?" And he looked at me and he said, "No, when I get there, when the time comes, I'll put it all right." My answer to that was, "How do you know you'll have time?" "Oh, there's always a minute or two before we die. I've seen so-and-so die, and this one and that one." And he was very confident that in the end of his life, there would be a splash of time where he could turn his attention to the Lord Jesus and have the opportunity to receive him. Now, Lazarus was a rich man, and Jesus tells this story, a very rich man. And there was another man who ate the droppings that fell off the rich man's table, and he was also covered with sores, and his life was not a pleasant one. Dogs licked the sores of this man that was suffering poverty, and he relied on God to allow crumbs, bits and pieces of food, to fall from the table so that he would have something to eat. Now, they both died. In heaven, the rich man found that he couldn't barter with God. In eternity, I suppose I should have said, he looked over and he saw the poor man with his head leaning on the bosom of Abraham. That's the picture that the Jewish people have about dying. And he was comfortable and rejoicing in the fact that he was with God's very own people. Lazarus cried out and he said, "Can you please help me? Get me out of where I am." And God said to him, "You know, we can't help you. When you were alive, you had plenty of time. You had time to repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you did not receive the testimony of the Holy Spirit, and so you are receiving the just desert of not listening to the word of God and acting upon it." Oh, he said, "Please, just send that poor man over here that he may dip his finger in the cup and touch the tip of my tongue and relieve me of the agony that I am sensing and going through in this place." Now, we would say today he was in the place where Satan is, and Satan had promised him many things with his riches that he could buy and barter his way wherever he wanted to go, whenever he wanted to go there. And suddenly he was without anything to trade. Suddenly he found that he had no influence at all. And he cried out, he said, well, I've got some brothers left on earth. Will you send somebody back to tell them that this is a terrible place to come to? And God said simply to him, if they would not believe my son and the testimony of the Holy Spirit that he died and rose from the dead and washed in the blood of Calvary, all those that would come to him, if they wouldn't believe him that they've seen and touched, how will they believe now? In other words, no, we're not going to send an emissary back to earth. There was one I sent, and he was my son, my only begotten son, a precious son. And I want you to realize that you had the same opportunity as everybody else, that you didn't take it. You did not take it. And that's a tragedy, to think that a person will not take the word of God to his heart and become born again. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And that is the unforgivable sin. God does not forgive the rejection of Jesus Christ the Lord. You reject his son, God is angry. And God says quite simply here, you have to understand that the words of your mouth, the meditation of your heart, is what makes you a person that can be called a good tree or an evil tree, that you will bear good fruit or evil fruit. Now, I'm aware that the church fails. I am aware that the church has hatched up all sorts of nonsense and calls it the religion of Christ. We do not follow such a religion. I serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. And you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And the words that I speak to you, they are the words of the Spirit of Christ, not the words of me. So if I'm good or bad in doing what I'm doing, it doesn't really matter. What matters is this, that I am a person who has received the gift of God through the Holy Spirit, and I am alive unto him who loved me and gave himself for me. What a privilege that is. What a joy that is. And what a great opportunity for you today to come to repentance. That is repentance when you say, oh, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody can come to the Father but by me. So when you think you can leapfrog over Calvary and you can ignore the blood that was poured out at Calvary, when you think you can be a religious person and not receive Christ as your Savior, you're in a terrible position. And that terrible position is one that just causes you to be very uncomfortable for eternity, not just for a day or two, but for eternity. God doesn't speak. Though you may search the scriptures, he does not speak of a second chance. He does not speak of a purgatory on the way to glory. He doesn't speak of those things. It's not there. What he speaks of is life after death, life that is bright and shining and glorious, powerful, for we're in the presence of Jesus. A friend and I, last night, were talking. We were traveling in the car, and we were talking about various things and trying to just talk about the things of the Word of God. And we both came to the conclusion what a glorious thing it is that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Jesus would have everlasting life. Not religion. The systems that we've come up with are not righteous, and they're not of God. We need to get away from the systems and get away from the ideas and hopeful thinking and wishful thinking that we have and understand the Word of God. Well, let's look at the second piece here. Words reveal character is the heading, if you like, verse 33 of this 12th chapter, where Jesus talks very, very straight. Now, I've been criticized because I speak straight, but Jesus spoke so straight, and he said, "You're a brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Why do you think people swear? People curse? Because the heart is unrepentant. Because the heart is not cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Because the heart has not received Jesus onto its throne. Because the heart is deceitful and has deceived many a person. I was in a foreign land, Brazil, and I was amazed at how many people there are saying they are Christian. And yet, they believe in a system of Christianity. They believe in the coveted system of Christianity that we call Roman Catholicism. That is not going to be enough. We have to know Jesus personally. And we have to receive him personally. And we have to be cleansed by him personally. And he comes into our lives and he helps our lives. He shows our lives for what they are. And we see them as absolutely wretched and filthy and like dirty rags. And he cleanses us from all sin. Now, there may be sins that we commit after we have received Christ as Savior. I'm not doubting that for a moment, but I am saying to you there's no second chances. You either receive Christ or you don't. You either receive the testimony of the Holy Spirit or you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit by rejecting his recommendation and introduction to the Son of the Living God. This is what makes our joy. This is what gives us that sense of the presence of God. A fellow came to visit my wife and I some years ago. He looked around the room that he was drinking tea in, and he said, "You know, this is a holy house." And I said, "Well, that's interesting," and I just left it at that. A few minutes later, he said, "You can feel the holiness of God in this place." I said, "Well, it has to be because we both have received Jesus Christ as Savior, and the holiness that you may feel and recognize, which is standing against sinfulness, is the holiness of Christ." And he leaned back, and again he said the same thing, just as he was about to leave. I said, "Let's pray together." And we prayed. He was very concerned that I understood that he recognized there was holiness in this house because God was in the house. I'm not boasting anything. I'm simply saying that but for the grace of God, I would be in the same pickle he was in. But he received the Lord Jesus eventually as his Savior. And that personality broke through all his religious aspects and desires. And he found himself just sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning of him. Have you done that? And I ask you in the most simple fashion, have you fallen upon your knees and said, Lord Jesus, wash me. Lord Jesus, hold me, keep me. Don't let me go. Be the one that never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and never alters and won't divorce me and won't leave me in the lurch when I'm in desperate need, but the one who comforts me. Death comes to us all, unless Jesus comes first. And for 2,000 plus years now, we've waited for the coming of the Lord Jesus, and scores of people have entered into eternity with or without the presence of Jesus in their experience. Now, Jesus speaks about people who lead others astray. In this scripture, he calls them a brood of vipers. They put religion before they put the personal faith in Christ in its right place. That's a terrible thing to have done, but they've done it, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. What fills your heart? I know we all drop hammers on our toes and say, oh dear, and it's not easy sometimes to keep your mouth shut, and you feel sometimes you want to explode, and your frustrations seem to demand an explosion somewhere, but somehow you just don't get to it. Repent. A good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure that which is evil. Do you have good or evil treasures? What is it you've got? But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting of it in the day of judgment. I've looked at this many times. When I was a child, my mother would say to me, you be careful what you say, young man, because you'll have to give an account for every evil word you've ever spoken. And there were some desperate days in my life where I would lay in bed at night worried about, well, what have I said today that I'm going to be pulled into some sort of judgment for? And here it is, right here, telling me that this is scandalous and wrong, and I will have to give an account. But if you look, Kenneth Wiest translates this in a further translation, he says, every idle word. What's an idle word? Well, every word that is superfluous that we have spoken, we are going to have to give an account for. And how many of us have not had a lot of idle words? When we pray for cleansing, be very careful to add the careless word that people speak, for by your words you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. Did you say the right thing? Did you not say the right thing? Did you bring into account the things of the Lord Jesus in your conversation? Or did you ignore him? How is it with you? How are you doing with the cleansing of your own heart? You're responsible for this heart of yours. Nobody else is. And God says, come to me. Come to me, and I will rest you. You're weary. You're heavy laden. Come to me. I was sitting in the doctor's office, and I've forgotten what prompted the conversation now. But anyway, this young lady leaned across and said to me, and I don't know why she said it to me, but she said, you know, I'm only 30 and I've had 2 divorces and I've got 4 children and I don't know what to do with myself. I'm in a terrible state. and I need help. Boy, have you come to the right place. I'll give you help. Let me point you to Jesus. And I went through the word of salvation with her. And she said, that's what I need. But she would not receive Christ. At least her conversation wouldn't let her. So, with these words, let me remind you, Jesus will receive you, will wash you, will keep you all the days of your life. You will dwell with him in heaven forever and ever. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'll bring us in our desperation times to that place where we just fall in front of you and say, wash me, Lord. Hold me, Lord. Keep me, Lord. Oh, Lord, bless now this precious little word that we've shared and cause us to rejoice in Jesus for eternity. For we ask these things in his name. Amen. Hey, thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.